translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. The river, the Ganges by which the king sat to fast, carries the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and Tulasi leaves. Therefore, the water sanctifies the three worlds inside and outside, and even sanctifies Lord Shiva and other demigods. Consequently, anyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, just after receiving the news of his death within 7 days, at once retired from family life and shifted himself to the sacred bank of the Jamuna River. Generally, it is said that the king took shelter on the banks of the Ganges or Ganga. But according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the king took shelter on the bank of the Jamuna. Srila Jiva Goswami's statement appears to be more accurate because of the geographical situation. Maharaj Parikshit resided in his capital, Hastinapur, situated near the present Delhi, and the river Jamuna flows past the city. Naturally, the king would take shelter of the river Jamuna because she is flowing past his palace door. As far as the sanctity is concerned, the river Jamuna is more directly connected with Lord Krishna than the Ganga. The Lord sanctified the river Jamuna from the beginning of his transcendental pastimes in the world. While his father, Vasudev, was crossing the Jamuna with the baby Lord Krishna to a safe place in Gokul, on the other bank of the river from Mathura, the Lord fell down in the river, and by the dust of the lotus feet, his lotus feet, the river at once became sanctified. It is especially mentioned herein that Maharaj Parikshit took shelter of this particular river, which is beautifully flowing, carrying the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, and mixed with tulasi leaves. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are always besmeared with tulasi leaves, and thus, as soon as his lotus feet contact the water of the Ganga and Jamuna, the rivers became at once sanctified. The Lord, however, contacted the river Jamuna more than the Ganga, according to the Varaha Purana, as quoted by Jiva Goswami. There is no difference between the water of the Ganga and the Jamuna. But when the water of the Ganga is sanctified 100 times, it is called the Jamuna. Similarly, it is said in the scriptures that 1,000 names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Ram, and three names of Ram are equal to one name of Krishna. Om Gyanarandasya Ganaganslakaya Taksutamina Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, my spiritual master, my eyes are taught with a little knowledge. So, thank you for letting me and the authorities try to say something. My only qualification, actually I have no qualification for sitting here. I'm only here, can sit here and try to say something by the mercy of the spiritual master and nothing else. And so when I first saw this purport, Now, immediately, there are so many different angles to speak from here. So many, this purport was like a very valuable diamond. If you see a very valuable diamond that's been cut nicely, it has different facets. So this purport is like that diamond, a very valuable diamond that has different way it's been cut, it has different facets. So one of them was, the first one that was that I saw was seemed like Srila Prabhupada is speaking, he's actually in this purport contradicting himself. Because it says by the Ganges in the beginning, and then he goes on to talk how Jiva Goswami gives according to Shastra, he says it's the Jamuna. So when there's a so-called apparent contradictions, they have to be reconciled. So it says in this purport that because he says it's because Jiva Goswami, he says because it is flowing nearby, it's called the Jamuna because it is near Delhi and the palace and Maharaj Britt's palace. So similarly, in Mayapur Dham, the Jamuna is also in Mayapur Dham. But we call it we generally say the Ganga because of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And also in Eka Chakra Dham, there's a little river which the locals call the Jamuna as well. That is where the deity form of Bunky Roy, who was one of Lord Nityananda's cowherd boyfriends, manifested his deity form to Lord Nityananda on one Ekadashi. And it is said there that Lord Nityananda carved Bunky Roy from that piece of wood, black wood. But it says here that I'm following the line of the Acharyas here, and so it says in the Nectar of Devotion here, chapter 6, how to discharge devotional service. So it says that the first page is about the basic principles, how to follow. So the fourth one is following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. So this is that I'm going to focus on more. And so following the footsteps of the great acharyas, teachers under the direction of the spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport is following the same. He's following the great acharyas under the direction of his spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Sarasvati Danta Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Prabhupada. And Jiva Goswami, he's the Tattva Acharya. So he knows all the tattvas. He knows the absolute truth. So if it says that Jiva Goswami says it's a Jamuna, we accept it. I accept it as the Jamuna. So then, if we follow this principle, following the footsteps of the Acharyas under direction of the spiritual master, that means that we have to follow the same under the direction of our spiritual master or sadhu. Now, the first basic principle he mentions here, in number one, accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Number two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Number four, well, I mentioned, following the footsteps of the great acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master. Five, inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So it is said that these first five are the most important of the 64 angas of devotional service. So the first one is accepting the shelter of a sadhu or sadhu guru, of a Vaishnava guru. Accepting accepting the shelter of a sadhu Vaishnava, sadhu guru. So it says here in Bhagavad Gita, one purport, Srila Prabhupada, he says, according to Bhakti Rasa Rasa Sindhu, again, which is the nectar of devotion, the science of devotion, Bhakti Rasa Sindhu 1:4, 15, and 16, the science of devotional service. Adu Shraddha Tada Sadhu Sangha Tada Bhajana Kriya Tatu Nana Navadisva Tatu Nishta Ruchistaha. So the first thing is by accepting the chariots, we also have to accept they had also a spiritual master. So we have to accept a spiritual master. We have to accept with faith. We have faith and then we become initiated and then we follow the other items I've just mentioned. And this spiritual master is so then how do we serve? So then how do we serve this spiritual master or sadhu? Because sadhu, he always speaks the absolute truth, always. So we know Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadviti Parapraine Bhatena Parabrashena Sevaya Upapashantiti Janam Janas Tatvadashana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he writes, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. In other words, we have to follow a spiritual master that's in the parampara, from the parampara, coming down from Krishna. So this sadhu, this Vaishnav guru, is very, very merciful. So we have to, it says in the we have to serve him submissively, then render service unto him, or surrender unto him. So we have to surrender to the spiritual master. And when we have these, when those conditions that are mentioned in the verse, submissive inquiry, render service unto him, and surrender unto him, we can then, once he sees we're qualified, he will impart the absolute truth unto us, because he has seen the absolute truth himself. And he will give us that mercy unto us. Because, and by this sadhu sangha, we can make very rapid advancement very quickly. By association and taking sadhu sangha, we can advance in spiritual life very quickly. And then we can progress on the path of devotional service. And on the path of devotional service, the Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Prabhupada, is one quote, he said, there are many thorns on the path of devotional service, many thorns. It's not a smooth walk. There are many thorns. It's like if you go to Vrindavan and you go on the Braj Mandal or anywhere on pilgrimage, and you're wearing no shoes. They have these little thorns they call sticker forms. And you're walking, and they're so small you can't see them. You're walking with no shoes. And suddenly you're walking on the sand, and suddenly you get one of these thorns stuck in your foot. And it's very painful. So path of devotional service is like this. So the sadhu, the sadhu guru has two forms. One is that he is Nityananda Prakash, that he is the manifestation of Lord Nityananda. And the second one, that he is, we sing every morning, Nakunja Yuno Ratikeli Silai, that he is engaged in the worship of Radha and, he's engaged insisting the gopis in the worship of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, that they've offered my obeisances to such a worthy spiritual master. So therefore, his other form is that he is Radha Priya Sakhi in the spiritual world. Now, this may be hard for us to understand. So then that spiritual master is so merciful that he comes down from the spiritual world to the fallen conditioned souls of this world. And then he brings down with him this rope of mercy, this creeper of mercy, which is attached to the toe of the Lord. And he descends with this rope of mercy. And then with this rope, he lowers to the material conditioned soul who is in the dark deep well of material existence. He is standing above that deep dark well. He's not in the deep dark well himself, but he's standing above, and he's lowering that rope down into that well of that deep dark well of material existence to us. And he's just saying to us, just hold on to this rope, just grab it and don't let go. Whatever happens, just hold on to it. Have the faith just to hold on to it and never let go. And then I will bring you out of this material, this deep dark well, this deep dark well of material existence. So he's very merciful. And the sadhu will always speak the absolute truth. Always. Because there's two types of a tattva. There's a paravichar and tattvavichar. A paravichar means apparent truth, and tattvavichar means absolute truth. He will always speak the absolute truth. This is why it said in that Bhagavad Gita, verse 434, he said he will reveal to that devotee the absolute truth. Because this human form of life, there is one goal. One prime necessary goal, that is to get prema bhakti, which Mahaprabhu descended from the spirit from Goloka Vrindavan to give freely to everybody. But we in our conditioned state cannot receive this prema bhakti unless we develop it by hearing from the sadhu guru. But all we have to do is just sit and listen to him. Submissive hearing. And just listen, because we cannot see Krishna directly with our eyes. We see Krishna through our ears. When we look at the murtis here of Radha Gokula Nityananda Hanuman, are we seeing Krishna? I'm not. But if I hear pure Hari Gita from a sadhu and I understand it. I am seeing Krishna through my ears. And it is one scripture, but I've got it in my book. I forget now where it is now. I think it's from Sri Chaitanya, that Krishna, we know that Krishna is attractive, all attractive. Krishna is attractive. Krishna is all attractive. So how does Krishna attract? In two forms, how does he attract? Would anybody like to say? Pardon? No. That's one of them, yes. But in this sloka, there's two specific ones. One is through the holy name and the acharya. Because one who speaks pure Harigata attracts the conditioned soul. Because the deity may not attract people. But the acharya who speaks pure Harigata will attract the conditioned soul. So then, when we have sadhu sangha, we should just listen, sit there attentively, and submissively, just hear. Then we will see Krishna. So that is real sadhu sangha. Now it also says, see, I have to go back to the beginning of the Bhagavatam, excuse me for a few seconds. Yeah, here it is. This is from First Canto, Chapter 1. Pardon me. Verse 2. I won't read the whole verse. Dharma parojita ketava tre pramano namashparanam satam. I'll just read the translation. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by the devotees who are fully pure in heart. So what is this Parityata Ketava? Ketava means cheating. What is this cheating religion? Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. This is cheating religion. In India, there's so many so-called sadhus who are just preaching Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. They're not mentioning how to get Krishna, how to perform devotional service or bhakti. They're doing it for panami, and pratishtha, money and fame. Like in India at the moment, one of the famous ones is this yoga teacher, Ram. Yeah. He's so much Lakshmi. He's got videos and things and all over the place. So he doesn't mention how to get Krishna. He doesn't mention how to perform devotional service. So we should avoid anybody, reject those so-called sadhus who are promoting Dharma, Artha, Moksha, and Moksha. But we should listen to those who are just promoting the who are speaking pure Hari Gita, and they are controlled, so that we can attract. They can attract us, so we can get out of this material world and go back home, but to the spiritual world. Another, like in the 11th canto, there are 24, it's mentioned, I forget what section it is in, or chapter. There are 24 gurus. They take form of animals or in the form of material nature. 12 show us how to perform devotional service, and the other 12 show us the complete opposite. And there's many gurus. So you could say the 12 that are not promoting devotional service, they are cheating. Anyone who is speaking the Dharma, Artha, Dharma, Karma, Moksha, they're cheating. They're cheaters. They're cheating us because there are five, technically the word is Parshamatama. So there are five. So there's the first four I just mentioned, Dharma, Artha, Moksha. The fifth one is Prema Bhakti, the topmost. And this has to be developed by hearing from a devotee, a guru who has Prema Bhakti, who has Prema. And the question will come, so how can we tell a guru, a bona fide spiritual master who has? First of all, he or they will only speak about Krishna. They won't speak any other topic. They will only speak about Krishna. It may be they only speak about Krishna. You won't hear anything else from them. And therefore, another symptom is that he is. He is very merciful. That's another symptom. And the mercy, he's always humble. In fact, he has. There's a whole list in the Charitamrita of the symptoms of a devotee who has prema. And therefore, if you can find that list and study it, if you look on the Veda base, probably find it. And therefore, we take shelter of that sadhu. And if we're serious in Krishna consciousness, we should take shelter of that sadhu by listening attentively and submissively. Then that spiritual master with that rope of that creeper of mercy will take us out of the material, of the deep hole of material existence, and then we can go to the spiritual world, end of this life. But we have to hold on to that merciful creeper and not let go. We have to hold on so tight, no matter how tough it is, because all of us are on different levels. So my hole might be deeper than others. Some other devotees' holes may be not so deep, but because we spent millions and millions of lifetimes in this material world. So just like in India, there are wells, dried up wells, and they have different. Some are deeper than others. Like an example is down in Cornwall, in mid Cornwall, Helston area. It's full of Cornwall was famous for tin mines, and where my uncle used to live, there was a big tin mine, and and one day I threw a stone to see how deep it was. It took 30 seconds to hit the water, because you could hear it, the stone hit the water. It took 30 seconds. That's how deep it was. And a few other yards further along, there was another entrance, and that was only, I threw a stone in there one time, and hit the water after 10 seconds. So because we've been in this material world for so long, our individual wells may be deeper than others. So it may take longer, but all we have to do in this lifetime is just hold on to that rope of mercy and then go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there, and any corrections or anything? Question, Ms. Mataji. Yeah, carry on, yeah. Sorry, I'm half waiting for the mic or so. We have to be fully surrendered. Complete surrender. For me, we have to, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samadama Bhidraja Mam Mikam Savam Braja. Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, just surrender unto me, but he's not speaking. The actual relationship is not between Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Even though Krishna is, the relationship, Krishna is Guru and Arjuna is disciple. Prabhupada said, complete surrender. So If our surrender is partial, conditional, or artificial, then that relationship with the spiritual master will be according to if it's artificial or conditional or partial. It has to be complete surrender to him. Follow his instructions, the general instructions, and any personal instructions. When we're completely surrendered to him, then I think it's in Bhagavad Gita 4.9 or 4.8. According to one surrender, I reward them accordingly. So if we are completely surrendered to the Guru, the spiritual master, then he will bestow full mercy upon us and we can have full reciprocation with him. But we have to be fully surrendered. Yeah. Complete surrender. 100% surrender to his lotus feet. If he give you just one specific instruction, you just do it. It's like I'll give an example. Years ago, one visiting devotee here. He was at I won't. He was in India somewhere in some house program, and there was no one there to play the madanga for some reason. So his Guru Maharaj said, "Prabhu, play the madanga." And he said, "Guru Maharaj, you know I can't play madanga." He said, "Just pick it up and play the madanga." "But Guru Maharaj, I can't play madanga, you know it." "Just pick it up." Eventually he did. "Okay, Guru Maharaj is instructing me to play madanga." He picked it up and found he could play the madanga. And he thought afterwards, "I was a complete fool. I was a complete fool. I should have done it in the first place." And that's how he learned to play the madanga. So if he gives you that, if that's a simple instruction, so if you just follow that one instruction and fully surrender to that instruction, then you get the mercy of the Guru. Yes, Benjamin, or Ben, just say.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu, very nice. You mentioned that in the Purport Show, Prabhupada said that spiritual life is very difficult.
Yeah.
It's a difficult path, and you quoted...
Yeah, with many thorns, yeah.
And then we hear also in the sastras that when we take spiritual life seriously or surrender, then material existence becomes no more dangerous or difficult than the water contained within the hoop print.
Yeah.
How do we like reconcile this contrast?
Because it says it's compared from a rightly, that verse is talking about the ocean. So the calf's footprint is shrunken, isn't it? So it's like, as one Maharaj explained it, it's like taking a boat, let's say from, does anybody know East Africa here? Yeah. So you know how big Lake Victoria is. You know how big it is. Yeah. Lake Victoria is so big it's got three countries surrounding it. Uganda, Kenya, and another one, I forget. Tanzania. It takes 4 hours to get to the center of Lake Victoria by boat. So, because I was in Kisumu one time, and the devotee told me how big, they took me to the Kisumu site, or us, the Kisumu site. And so it's like that. The ocean is like Lake Victoria, massive. But by the mercy of the Guru, it is shrunken. It takes 8 hours to cross from Kenya side to Uganda side. By the mercy of the Guru, it is shrunken to the size of a calf's footprint. You get the boat on the Kenya side. You get the boat on the Kenya side. It takes hours, 8 hours to get to the Uganda side. But with Krishna, you board the boat, you board the ferry, and immediately you get to the other side. Immediately, the other side, immediately. There's no crossing. This is how he explained it. Yes, Mataji. Yes, difficult, yeah.
It's still a difficult journey. How do we get through that, even if it's shrunken, even if it's shorter, it's still difficult.
We have to be like Dhruv Maharaj. We have to be determined. Because Dhruva means determined. So whatever obstacles come on the way, We have to be determined and somehow see them as Krishna's mercy or the mercy of the Guru to us. Either that obstacle that is before us, we should ask ourselves, is Krishna or is the Guru showing us something here? And if we can't see that the spiritual master is not trying to show us something, we have to be determined, that's all. Just be determined, like Dhruva Maharaj.
So just to add, it's also relative, right? Because it seems that it's... Because we've been, like you said, millions of births and millions of lives, so it seems it's relative in the sense that it's been expanded from an ocean of time to just a calf.
Yeah.
So it's also in a relative kind of example that
By
the mercy of the spiritual master, it's only become so much work, we only have to give one life.
Yeah.
Rather than...
Yes, that's true as well, yeah. Thank you. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. See, what is half the Ganga, it's explained that if you know the pastimes, you've been to Mayapur, obviously, yes. So on the Koladweep side, Navadweep town side, is the Jamuna. And on the other, on the side of the Goldruma Dweep and the other islands on the other side, that is the Jamuna. I mean the Ganga, sorry. But they're both together. But because it's the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, it's recognized as the Ganga. The reason why is that another name for Mayapur Dham is Gupta Vrindavan, the hidden Vrindavan. Secret or hidden Vrindavan. Because it's the appearance place of Lord Caitanya, Krishna is hidden. Just as Krishna is hidden within the body of Lord Caitanya. Now, we know Lord Caitanya appeared in a golden complexion. But Krishna is there in his bluish color. But that is completely hidden. So this is why it's called Gupta or Secret Vrindavan. His bluish color is hidden. The same as, and if you notice, next time you go, you look at the color of the water on Koladweep side and Antadweep side, the water is slightly different. The color of water is slightly different. And if you go to the Jalangi, the water is also a different color as well than the other two. You probably noticed this, didn't you? When you're going across the boat to Koladweep, and you get the boat from Antadweep, you have to go through the Jalangi, then you have to go onto the Ganga. And then like this, you got light blue, you got blue water. Then like there's a natural water barrier that separates the Jalangi from the Ganga. So if you look, the color of the water is slightly different. And also in Sastra it says that when Lord Caitanya took sannyas and he wanted to go to Vrindavan for the first time, and Lord Nityananda played tricks on him. And he's walking along the banks of the Ganga. And he saw Advaita Acharya on the Jamuna side in a boat. And he said, Lord Caitanya said, "Advaita Acharya, what are you doing here? What are you doing in Vrindavan?" And Advaita Acharya replied, "Wherever you are is Vrindavan." So Advaita Acharya's boat was on the Vrindavan side. That happened at the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. The river's dry, that part of the Ganga's dried up now. So that happened there. So the water is the color of water is different. And also Lord Shiva says to Gauri, his wife, it's a long story, I won't go into it, that how did Mayapur Dham, who created Mayapur Dham, and Lord Shiva explains that Srimati Radharani created Mayapur Dham. And she asked the Ganga and the Jamuna to join together. It's in one of the, I forget now which one it is, it's in one of these, I forget now the name of it, but I read it like that. So this is how it's, the Jamuna is there, but it's not, because it's the birthplace of Lord Caitanya, the Ganga is more prominent. Just as in Vrindavan, the Ganga is there as well, but the Jamuna is more prominent because of the appearance place of Krishna's pastimes. Okay. It's Gandharaji, Mabamutam Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai, Prasiddha Prabhupada Ki Jai.